Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on CUTV News Radio Live. It is 1 p.m. Eastern and noon Central, and it is 11 a.m. Mountain, where our guest happens to be, and 10 a.m. Pacific. Thank you very much for joining us. Our guest is in a beautiful part of our world in Golden, Colorado, and I was just there a few weeks back with our guests, and beautiful, beautiful place. We went to the top of the Mother Cabrini Shrine. We went through Evergreen, Colorado. We dined at a wonderful Mexican restaurant, and just really got an added flavor and appreciation for beautiful Colorado. And I mentioned Colorado because it's such an inspiration for our guest, Pamela Wilson. It just brings certain things in you to the surface. And caring and empathy and compassion and appreciation for environment and people. And that's what she's all about. She is a proven and trustworthy caregiving expert, advocate, and speaker, author of the book, The Caregiving Trap. Her brand, The Caring Generation, began with a radio program of the same name as well. She says all of her help, internet-based. Her mission is to reach as many caregivers and aging adults as possible who are unaware of the proper solutions to the overwhelming challenges that caregiving presents. Family caregivers believe they can really handle all of the issues when the reality is that caregiving is more complex than ever imagined. A year ago, Pamela herself transitioned from being an on-call 24/7 managing client care to offering caregiver courses and resources that are accessible online and easy to use. Her caregiver website, with content written exclusively by Pamela, eases the worry and frustration of family members seeking help and trustworthy solutions available online, too. With 20-plus years of experience responding to caregiving emergencies, she developed online courses with the essential steps needed to care for loved ones. If everybody lives long enough, we are all going to be placed in this position, like it or not. And, you know, being prepared and having things in order as best as possible, having those conversations with family, getting the finances in order, just getting things sort of at least the ball rolling is essential. So when things do happen, it isn't such a shock to the system, and you don't have to scramble and forget to dot the I's, cross the T's, and have emotional turmoil amongst friends and family members, and all of that can be part of the equation. Her Power of Attorney course is a really invaluable one. It's about how to manage medical care and the importance of appointing the right power of attorney to help with medical decision-making and care needs. That's very important to have that in place early so there's no confusion over that. Her stay-at-home course teaches caregivers preventative steps to avoid putting loved ones in nursing homes. Being in the comfort of home, of course, is the preferred option for probably everybody, especially when family caregivers are aware of the steps to manage medical care, avoid care neglect, and identify concerns that result in health declines. This is really invaluable and impactful information that Pamela Wilson has been imparting with us here on CUTV News Radio Live exclusively, and such an honor and a pleasure to have her back as we talk more about this incredible topic. Thank you very much for joining us, Pamela. Always a pleasure to have you with us because, again, the information you're sharing really affects all of our lives. Welcome back to CUTV News Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
And I am happy there. I'm happy here too, but I was happy there where you are in Colorado. Beautiful weather where you are. Snow is gone.
Oh, my gosh. So we had snow on the first and second day of summer, Steamboat, Colorado. over 2 feet of snow at the top of the mountain. Now, this week, of course, we're complaining because it's hot. It's in the 80s.
See,
so it goes from one extreme to the other.
Amazing. As does caregiving and health care and taking care of loved ones. Our topic today, being proactive about health care and caregiving costs. Really information. These articles that you sent, the White House wants patients to know healthcare prices up front, and Wall Street Journal, who recommends steps to limit risk of dementia. Really incredible material. Also, we are back for the 8-week series of caregiving discussions, which I think is fantastic. This is week 3. You can find the last interview on the CUTV News website as well. You just click in radio shows and you can hear all the episodes. And of course, mark the calendar because Pamela will be with us on Thursday, July 11th as well for the next interview in this 8-part caregiving series. And again, if you missed previous programs, you can go to our website, CUTVnews.com, to hear all of the shows. So as we talk about being proactive about healthcare and caregiving costs, my thought is talking about the idea of prevention and becoming more informed about these healthcare costs, because sometimes they are a surprise to us at the last minute. We don't realize how expensive healthcare can be. Dementia, caregiving. How did these subjects and others lead you to become a caregiving advocate, Pamela?
Personal experience from my mother, who was ill from the time I was very young. So she had heart disease, she had bypass surgery and contracted hepatitis C from a blood transfusion, many strokes, all these health issues. And you were saying how Colorado is a healthy place to live. You made me think, when I was young, my mother was going through all this and I was watching her. And so early in my 20s, I thought, I must join a gym. I must go take an aerobics class. And I thought, how hard could that be? My first aerobics class I remember going to, I was so out of shape from a cardiovascular standpoint. My heart was beating 1,000 beats a minute. I thought I was going to die. And here I thought, aerobics, shmoobics, you know, how difficult can that be? And so I learned from that, you know, we can appear to be healthy, we can appear to be in shape, but it's not until you try to climb those 500 steps at the Kundalini Shrine that you realize that you either are in shape or you're not in shape. And so all of this personal experience, just watching my mother and being extremely preventative for myself, because she died at the age of 69. You know, I, even in my 20s, said, you know, that is not going to happen to me. And so that led me to this career in caregiving and just managing all the care for clients over 20 years. I know that I made a difference. I know that I stabilized their care. And that's why I want to talk to caregivers and aging adults about this whole idea of prevention today and preventing all these expensive costs that really don't have to happen if we take action.
See, that's the key. That is the key. Real quick, is that the hardest thing to get people to do, is to take the action? You know, it's one of those things, also talking about death probably, and maybe even taxes, that people don't like talking about, that people feel there's time, you know, we can wait, everybody's in good shape right now, it's not something we really need to concern ourselves, oh, it's a morbid topic, oh, I don't want to go down that road talking about it. You know, you get that a lot, and do you find that's one of the hardest things, just to get people to realize that it can make their lives so much easier if they take these steps now and be cognizant of all the different issues and costs and have some sort of sense of understanding, perspective, and planning, so when these things do happen and everything is inevitable and we just don't have a time frame really on life, to be as prepared as possible? And that's where you can help them.
It is. You know, we're not this preventative society. It's kind of like healthcare is a backward reward. I was talking to a doctor about this the other day, and I was saying, you know, why can't we solve this? Why can't we fix this problem where it's okay to talk about caregiving and health and life and death, and it's okay to be preventative? You know, 100 years ago, people were born and died in homes, not in hospitals. And the healthcare system today has this backwards reward system. So it rewards people, believe it or not, for being sick, because if you go to the doctor, you're not going because you're healthy, you're going because you're sick. That doctor has 8 minutes or 12 minutes with you because of the insurance plan, and he has to put a diagnosis code in your record. So if you're not sick, they can't see you. He doesn't have any time to talk about prevention. So let's say, Jim, that you had high blood pressure that was just skyrocketing. The doctor would say, well, Jim, here's a pill to take. Go get this prescription filled. The doctor wouldn't say, well, Jim, you know, if this gets uncontrolled, you could end up with dementia 20 years from now. And if you need bypass surgery, well, that's a, I'm just guessing here, $1 million surgery. There's no talk about the consequences of not managing health or talking about caregiving today. And I had a lady who posted in my group this morning, her mother was in a tragic car accident 2 or 3 months ago. Now she's a quadriplegic. She's living with her daughter who has two kids. Her brothers won't help. It's just this disaster situation happened overnight. And of course, there was no discussion about, well, gee, what happens if I get into a car accident? Who's my power of attorney? What kind of care will I need? We don't talk about these things, and we must talk about these things.
Yeah, it's really, I know it seems tough sometimes for people to go down that road, but like what you're saying, it is essential that we do to make things easier and just to be as prepared as possible. Let's talk about how caregivers actually find you, because you have a wealth of resources. I know this is years worth of expertise, knowledge, experience, hands-on experience, and a passion to connect with caregivers out there. So what are the best ways that people can really connect with you and avail themselves of the opportunity of these online courses and other resources and your perspective as well?
So 20 years of my experience is on my website, and that is PamelaDWilson.com. There is my caregiving library, newsletters, videos, support groups, information about why do I need caregiving support? What is a caregiving webinar? My course information. There's about 500 pages on my website, and I blog every week. And then on social media, I'm very active. I try to be everywhere. Every morning, I do a video on my Facebook page. And so there's a live video there. There's probably over 100 already posted. And then recently I went to Roku TV and started a caregiving TV channel where I have other videos there. I post daily just so that caregivers can find me and avail themselves of my library, my courses, my information, because I'm trying to reach caregivers worldwide. That is my mission.
That's right, and it's something that I think is really a beautiful thing that you're doing, because especially in more remote areas, there might not be any resources at all, whether it's in the United States, Canada, or even internationally. There are a lot of areas where people live, you know, far distances from things and from people, and they might not have any caregiving support whatsoever. So through technology, for you to reach out and be able to connect with those folks and let them know there is support available and that you're here to help and guide, that really is crucial, right? Because there are a lot of places where they don't have the resources, like in maybe urban environments or more suburban environments. Not that they all have
either. Or here in Colorado.
Yeah.
Here in Colorado, where Western Colorado, there's not a lot of resources. And it's true. So even, I would say, in every state, you know, outside of the main cities, the resources don't exist. So if you were looking for a caregiving support group and you lived in a small town in Nebraska or a small town in Colorado, more than likely there isn't anything. Sometimes there aren't even care resources. So my website, you know, 24 hours a day, caregivers can find me anywhere. And even if you are a caregiver who lives in a big city where there are resources, caregivers will say to me, Pamela, I don't have time to go to a course. I don't have time to go to a support group, but yet I can log on to your website and find the information that I need. And I think that's what's important for caregivers. Information, hope, help is on my website. You don't even have to leave home. You just turn on your computer and type in PamelaDWilson.com, and it is all there.
That's fantastic. I mean, you've really, like I said, you've worked so hard to bring it all together and make it user friendly for everybody. You know, the White House is leading an initiative about the benefits of patients knowing about health care costs. In your work with aging adults and caregivers, why do you feel that's very important?
I feel it's important for a couple of reasons. One is that we're all complaining about, quote, the Affordable Health Care Act, because health care isn't affordable. And I think if more of us knew, you know, from the early age, our teens, our 20s, when we start going to medical appointments, what things cost and what can happen if we're not preventative to our health, I think we might be more proactive, and that would lower the health care costs. If we were more aware of, you know, links between, like I talked, high blood pressure and dementia, other things that happen, I think it would change the healthcare system, but it has to be driven by the government, and I don't know how many years that's going to take because, you know, the insurance companies, they want their money. You know, the doctors want money from tests. So, as I mentioned, we're kind of a diagnosis and a test-driven system versus be healthy, don't need the tests. Don't have your health decline and take care of yourself. That would be so much better for us, but I think it's going to take a while to get there.
Right, exactly. It's just got to keep, you know, trudging forward and with a positive attitude. And, you know, you mentioned healthcare costs being a concern. Health insurance does not pay for the care that most aging adults need as they age, which is really sad, disappointing, and unfortunate. Can you share your experience with other costs that relate to caregiving needs that we might not even be aware of?
Yes. So caregivers would come into my office and they would start saying, well, mom or dad need this and mom or dad need that. And what do you mean Medicare doesn't pay for that?
Yeah.
It receives very little attention until an aging parent needs care. And there's this care, I call it custodial care. So it's really the type of care that most aging adults need to stay at home. It's help with, there's a term in medical speak called activities of daily living. So help with bathing, dressing, making meals, eating, toileting, grocery shopping, all of those things is what it takes for an aging adult to stay at home and be independent. And nothing except long-term care insurance, if you get it, pays for that, or your retirement or your savings, because it's not really medically necessary, but it is necessary for daily life. And so consumers are shocked when I tell them, you know, what things cost. So if you want to hire an in-home caregiver, $30 an hour, depending on where somebody lives. Assisted living, $4,000 to $8,000 a month. If you're in a nursing home, $300 to $500 a day. I think Alaska is the most expensive. So most of us, by the time we retire, don't have enough money to pay for this type of care. So I go back to understand your health care needs, be preventative, take my stay-at-home course so that you can avoid having to hire in-home caregivers, avoid having to go to a nursing home, avoid all of these expenses that most of us aren't going to have the money to pay for when we're older.
You also suggest and maybe help guide people with planning in advance for the expenses. Like, for example, maybe starting some sort of savings account or something like we do, you know, for we have retirement accounts. There's different things we have in life, but something maybe on the side where we can put money away earlier in life that hopefully can help with some of these costs that insurances and Medicare and others won't necessarily pick up. To get started on something like that early, even if it's just, you know, a few dollars a week or a month, just something in a little kitty or a fund that could be called upon down the line.
You know, I do, because of my life experience and my mother, so I purchased long-term care insurance when I was probably in my late 30s. When you're in your 30s, you're normally healthy. There's no issues. I mean, if you think about the fact that, you know, I don't know what people pay for car insurance, depending on the area of the country, but If you're in your 30s, you can probably get a long-term care insurance policy for no more than your car insurance rates over a year, so $3 a day. And if you imagine you keep that policy until you're 65 or 70, it's worth millions of dollars. But if you wait till you're 50 or 60 and you have health problems, you can be declined. So long-term care insurance is not an automatic insurance. They don't have to accept you. If you have diabetes or other conditions, they can say no, or they can double your policy premium. So if we wait until we're older, it's too late. If we do it when we're younger, and to your point, think about it as a retirement insurance plan. You know, this money, if I put away, will pay for my assisted living. It will pay for me to have care in my home. It will pay for me to go to daycare. They even pay for home modifications. So if you need a roll-in shower in your bathroom and your bathroom is too small, some of these plans will pay for that. But again, it's not something that we talk about. It's something that we should talk about, in my opinion, so that when we're older, we're not having to rely on Medicare that doesn't pay, or who knows if Social Security will be around by the time you and I retire, Jim. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to have a plan for ourselves and not depend on anybody else.
That's what it's about, right? Exactly. So again, all part of prevention and being ready. Is there anything that can be done to reduce unexpected care costs?
You know, there is, and it's asking questions. So many caregivers are afraid to ask questions of doctors, as are older adults. I have so many older adults who feel like, you know, the doctor is on this pedestal, and heaven forbid you ask a question or you disagree with them. And there are, in many doctor's offices, there are wonderful nurses there who are more than happy to ask questions. So if you go to a doctor appointment and the doctor says, okay, you have high blood pressure, take a pill, there should be questions to say, well, okay, what if I don't want to take this pill? What can I do to reduce my blood pressure to see if in 2 or 3 months I don't need the pill? Or if I have to have it, what else could happen? So with high blood pressure, you can eventually end up with circulation issues, other issues that are caused by the heart being stressed. So it's asking those questions early on to say, okay, I understand I have this. What can I do to reverse it? If I can't, what can I do to prevent getting, you know, diabetes from this or having it go into congestive heart failure? It's asking the questions, and many caregivers don't know what questions to ask, and so I teach that a lot in my courses. Caregivers will come to me and say, well, I have this problem, and I have a list of 20 questions. You know, this is what you should ask. This is what you want to understand from the doctors. And a lot of times people don't realize that medical conditions are related, that one causes another. By the time we're 75 or 80, if we have 5 different health conditions, more than likely one is causing the next, is causing the next, is causing the next. If we knew that 30 years ago, we probably wouldn't be in the condition that we are today, but we have to be proactive and ask questions and then take action. So a lot of people will get advice and they just kind of put it on the shelf. I was talking about this morning on my Facebook Live. We find this book and we think the book's going to change our life, but what do? We put the book on the shelf and we don't do anything about the suggestions in the book. We have to act. And I cannot reinforce that enough for caregivers. Get help before you need it. Find out about health conditions before they advance and before you're in a situation where you're taking care of a loved one and you're so stressed that you can't even cope day to day, because that's what happens.
That's right. It's so vitally important to make sure that, you know, all these bases are really covered, because, again, it's just amazing a lot of times that we don't necessarily think about these things, but it really, really is important to do that, because it comes down to making the whole situation smoother, and that way you can really concentrate on the actual care and the love that's being shared with the person that's needing the care. Earlier you mentioned health conditions that can result in things like dementia if left untreated or unmanaged, high blood pressure, diabetes. What do you think, you know, in terms of this information, the fact that it's really not publicized or well known, what do you think that is?
You know, I think it's partly it goes back to the fact that doctors don't have the time to educate, but also And I love general practitioners, but they're not specialists. So if you're a general practitioner, you may not come across someone that you've had for a number of years who first had heart disease and then had dementia. Because I've been in this work for 20 years, and I was the legal expert on my client, so I needed to know their healthcare better than anyone else. I requested records, you know, years back. I would read through the records. I would see how these little things progressed and how sometimes the doctors would mention something and the client or the patient would not think that it was significant. So there's this idea, I call it relevance. Until we're diagnosed with something, we don't even think about it. And then when we're diagnosed with it, we find out, oh, somebody else has high blood pressure or somebody else has diabetes. You know, it's kind of like you buy a new car and then you see that car everywhere on the road. It's you know, until it happens to us, it's not real. And that's what we have to find a way to solve is, especially with caregiving, if we talk about it earlier, we can become more informed. We can learn about things that happen. And I always talk to caregivers about this because they'll say, well, I don't need to take your course. I know what's going to happen. And I say, well, you might think you know what is going to happen, but you can't even imagine what might happen because of a health condition that you don't know about. Our health literacy rates in the United States are so low. We don't talk about it when we're in high school or after that. People don't read about health conditions. It just happens and then we deal with it.
It's so amazing. You would think that, you know, being so innovative and advanced as we are as a country, that we would, but not necessarily the case. Dementia, Alzheimer's, maybe other subjects that, you know, people don't really talk about. How can a family member notice memory loss in an aging parent? And is it possible for us to notice if we are experiencing memory loss?
I worry about that every day. You know, when I think of things and I'm like, okay, where did I put my keys? And then I find them. I think about it every day because I do this professionally. So signs that someone might be having memory issues. And this is an interesting one. So there's research now that says 10 to 15 years before a diagnosis of dementia or Alzheimer's occur, the signs occur. So the first one is difficulty managing money, managing finances, and organizational issues. And I'll give an example about that. I had a client whose wife did a newsletter for their church. And she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. In looking back, he told me, you know, she started to have problems with the computer and the newsletter about 10 years ago. I had no idea it was related to dementia or Alzheimer's. So things like not being able to keep a calendar, having more difficulty using a computer. If you've been great at using a computer and now you're struggling, it could be signs of early dementia. You miss doctor appointments. Your children talk to you about something and you can't remember it. And they say to you, well, Mom or Dad, I just told you that yesterday. Or you're calling your children seven times a day and you don't remember that you made that phone call. It's all of these little signs that build up, usually to some kind of an accident. So the basement floods because Mom left the water on, or there's a stove fire, or a car accident happens, or Mom or Dad get lost going to the grocery store. It takes something like that for people to recognize that, oh gosh, it might be Alzheimer's or dementia, rather than noticing these little signs and going to get tested earlier to be proactive.
Which is really, really important. How about a number where, again, people can find you? Tell us about the best ways that people can connect with you, such as the website, Facebook, Roku, and other ways to connect with you.
So easiest way is my website, PamelaDWilson.com. There is a contact button on there. So if you hit contact, you can send me an email. I usually respond very quickly. Facebook, I check Facebook several times a day because I post videos on there, and people in my Facebook group, it's called The Caregiving Trap, will also post questions and situations in there, and I respond. So more than likely, if you hit the contact button on my website or if you're on my Facebook page, you're going to hear from me within 24 hours. And then people always can call me. My direct number is 303-810-1816. I am very easily accessible.
You sure are, and that's, again, one of the great things that make you so incredible at what you do is because of the accessibility. PamelaDWilson.com is that website. Pamela, thanks for joining us. You'll be back with us coming up on our next episode, which we look forward to. And that'll be on July 11th. And that's going to be another great episode as we continue our series together. Wishing you and yours the very best for the 4th of July holiday. And just keep doing what you're doing, Pamela, because, again, you are really a ray of sunshine and you're helping so many people. That's why we encourage them to connect with you. Prevention is really key, and you can help them get to where they need to be. Have a wonderful holiday. Thanks for being with us today. Talk again on Thursday, July 11th, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on CUTV News Radio. Thanks, Pamela.
My pleasure. Have a great holiday, everyone.
You too. You take care. We'll talk again in 2 weeks. Thanks again for joining us. Again, Pamela D. Wilson. The website, or also 303-810-1018. Exclusively here on CUTV News Radio Live. Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Until next time, we hope you have a great holiday as well. Stay tuned. More great episodes of CUTV News Radio Live coming up throughout the day. Till our next episode, thanks for being with us and have a great day.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.